The word still works. The Bible says lay hands on the sick and they might. No. Lay hands on the sick and we hope. Lay hands on the sick and you never know. No, lay hands on the sick and if they felt it, lay hands on the sick and they will recover. And there was a healing anointing in this place tonight. And praise God. If you got hands laid on you, the thing you do now is you say, Father, I thank you. What's the date today? 17th. You say, Father, I thank you that on September 17th, 2014, at 6:45 or whatever, 6:40 p.m., I was healed of whatever I came up for. The Bible says, therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray. What did we just do when we laid hands on people? We prayed. When you pray or when you say, you believe you receive it, and then you'll have it. And so it's not the feeling of it. It's not the manifestation of it. It's the praying of it is when the believing needs to hit. The collision of the praying and the believing just happened. And so you just, and then if symptoms rear their ugly head or if the devil puts thoughts in your heads, the way you do that is you say, I thank you. On September 17th, 2014, when Pastor Mike laid hands on me, the healing anointing went in my body. I thank you. I'm healed. Praise God. Amen. And you stick with it and you don't let up on it. Praise God. You just dig your heels in. You don't move from that place. You hold fast to your confession of faith without wavering. For he that is faithful that promised. He's faithful. He's faithful. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, let's pray for tonight. Glory to God. Father, we could go home right now and be happy. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. This isn't just a fireworks show. This isn't just to get the emotions high. Lord, Father, you know my heart. I'd never want to try to put anything on. And Lord, I know you specifically told us to do that, Father, because you want people to experience your goodness. You want people to experience your healing. And Father, whether or not it manifested instantaneously doesn't matter. Faith is the higher way anyways. So we'll get it by our faith, glory to God. We've received it here tonight. But Father, we have the preaching of the word now. The most important part of our week coming up where we get our help, where we get our instruction to go forward. Father, speak through me as the oracles of God, not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but a demonstration of the Spirit and power. We give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, you can open to John 16. If you were watching that, or if you were up here and say, well, I didn't fall, or I didn't see some people fell, some people didn't. Listen, it's not in the falling. I've had hands laid on me where I've went out like a light, and I've had hands laid on me where I didn't fall down. I don't just sit there, go up there and say, well, I'm going to try to fall down. Now, no, just, you know, it's biblical, but it doesn't have to always be that way. Praise God. And that doesn't mean, well, someone that fell got it, someone that didn't. No, it's all according to your faith. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise God. John chapter 16, of course, we're talking about the name of Jesus, and tonight's part two of that. Glory to God. And so John 16, we're going to dive right into this in verse 23. Again, thank you for being here. This is just a delight to my heart to see all of you tonight, just knowing what it's going to mean for your life. Jesus said in that day, of course, we're on a series on prayer, in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father, in my name, he will give it to you. So the Bible tells us right here, we don't pray to Jesus, do we? No, we don't ask Jesus anything. The Bible tells us we don't pray to a saint, does it? We don't pray to a priest. We don't pray to a person. We don't pray to the Virgin Mary, who's not a virgin, praise God. And we don't pray to those people. We pray to the Father, but we pray, and our instruction is, in the name of Jesus. Verse 24, hitherto, or up until now, have you asked nothing in my name? Ask and you shall receive that your joy may be full. Praise God. So we're talking about praying to the Father in the name of Jesus. And what a resource we have that the church knows very little about, that name of Jesus. It's not just something that, because prayer has turned into such a religious, repetitive thing around the world and even in Christian circles, that when you finish a prayer with the name of Jesus, it's almost like we don't understand the magnitude of when you say that, what it's doing for that prayer. That it's almost like it's putting the stamp on it. It's almost like it's putting the seal on it. It's like that's the final thing that needs to be said, and that thing's coming to pass. But because we don't know much about it, and it's become such a repetitive thing, we just go off and say it because that's just what you say at the end. Well, I want to make sure you understand and know what you have available to you in that name. Glory to God. E.W. Kenyon, a minister who's gone home to be with Jesus, he was preaching on the name of Jesus, and there was a man in his service who was a lawyer. And he was teaching on this verse where Jesus said, whatever you ask in my name, he said, you'll have it, you'll get it. And the lawyer interrupted him during the service, and he said, are you saying, Reverend Kenyon, that Jesus has given us power of attorney to use his name. And E.W. Kenyon said, well, brother, you're a lawyer. I'm not. Is that what Jesus is saying? And the guy said, if language means anything, Jesus is telling us we can use his name like a power of attorney. Now, if you don't know what power of attorney is when you can act on another person's behalf, carrying out the affairs of that person. And I know a little bit about that with my dad. He had a stroke in 2004. My sister and I became power of attorney, and I can write checks that have his name on it. I can use his credit card, his debit card that has his name on it. I can sign transactions and different business type things with his name on it and be completely legal. I don't have to pay his bills with my money. I don't have to buy his groceries with my money, but I can use his stuff. He doesn't even need to be there. I got a hunting license a couple weeks ago. Didn't even have to show him my license or his license. Just had to show him the power of attorney papers that I could sign for him. And so it's carrying out the affairs of another person. But this is what I want you to see is the value of that power of attorney. And the value of the power of attorney, it all depends on what's backing that name. Amen. Because, let's just say Donald Trump made me power of attorney for him, or my dad made me power of attorney. Well, I'd have a lot more power with Donald Trump. So if any of you made me power of attorney for you or Donald Trump, let's just face it, Donald Trump probably has a little more money than us right now, right? I mean, I'm going out on a limb. Like, if you're holding back on me, come on, stop it. Because I know the tithes would go way up if we had Donald Trump income here. Praise the Lord. And but anyways, so we have a lot more power to do a lot of things with his income, wouldn't we? We can carry out affairs in his name. We can go do million-dollar business deals and sign our name to it and put POA next to that. And it'll be legal, praise God. And so it depends on, in that name of Jesus, what's backing that name. I'm just kind of going through some quick review of Matthew 28 and verse 18. I want to show you this, what you have at your disposal. Praise God. Is this thing on tonight? Yep. Matthew 28 and verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power, all authority. That's a lot, isn't it? Yes. See? Ask and you shall receive. Right? It works. All power, all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. That's powerful. Yes. All power, all authority. That word power in the Greek is the word authority. Go ye therefore. So he's not saying, well, I'm awesome, I have the power. Because it doesn't do Jesus any good to have the power right now. You are little Jesus is walking around. You are the body of Christ. You are. And it does him no good to take that power with him to heaven when people on this earth are down here hurting and sick and diseased and depressed and in bondage of fear and depression and anxiety and turmoil. It does him no good to keep that power. So he says, listen, boys, I want you to know all the power on heaven and earth belongs to me. Go ye therefore. Why? Because he's enduing us with that power that he has. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even till the end of the world. So the Lord is saying to us, when we use his name, we have all authority, all power available to us that we would need to conduct life here on earth successfully and victoriously at our disposal. That's what the power of attorney is. Let me just tell you what Jesus is doing. He's giving you a signed check. Now get this. Jesus has given you a signed check on the resources of heaven, asking you to fill it in. Can you imagine if Donald Trump gave you a blank check and said, just fill it in? You know, you got. He's pretty much got, I mean, let's face it, there's not much that we could buy in our own lives that would waste all his money. I mean, it'd be fun to try. Right? It'd be fun to try that. Well, there's probably not enough stuff in the world, enough things in the world, you know, that would exhaust it. Imagine if he said, here's a blank check, fill it in. Well, if you go and fill it in for $100 and he gave you one shot at it, that's your fault. Right? He's got millions, maybe even, I don't know if he's made billionaire status, but he's close if he isn't. Millions of dollars that you could fill that in. And all the things you could do with that money, right? You could do way more with millions than you can with hundreds. And Jesus is saying, go back to verse 23, Heather, and John 16. Praise God. John 16, 23 says, "Verily I say unto you, whatsoever you ask the Father in my name," he doesn't put any limits on it. He doesn't put any stipulations on it. And so he's giving you a signed blank check to say, use my name. And again, it'd be one thing if my dad were to say, here's a blank check, son. You have the legal authority to use this. Go use this check. If I went and tried to buy, a mansion on that money, well, check's going to bounce because there's no resources to back it up. But see, when somebody gives you a blank check, and then you are knowledgeable about the resources they have, you can write that thing for big things, for big, big things. And Jesus has given us a signed check on the resources of heaven, telling you to fill it in. And how many times people have just skimped along? You hear people the way they talk, and you know they don't have a revelation that they got the fullness, that they have the resources of heaven at their disposal. You hear the way they talk. Well, I remember one time Dr. Dufresne had Spirit of God said, who's believing for a vehicle in here? And people came up. And Dr. Dufresne had a revelation of the resources of heaven. And he was asking everybody, what do you want? What kind of car do you want? Some people would say, you don't want a new one. Well, then he got to one person. He said, I'd just take one with 100,000 miles and just one to get me from A to B. And Dr. Dufresne said, what is wrong with you? The Lord called you up here to say he wants to bless you with a vehicle. But see, that's a small revelation of who God is. That's a small revelation of who. And people say, I'll just barely get by and just barely make it and barely have more than enough. You don't have a revelation of what resources are waiting for your disposal. Now, and of course, we're going to look at it for the kingdom first. We always ought to be kingdom-minded first. But you're going to see at the end, this goes along with your life and the things in your life. Praise God. It goes along with ministry. And I'll just say this, it would do the church, not just this church, but the church as a whole, it would do the church good to do an exhaustive study on the name of Jesus and what resources are waiting. Because if you write that, if you get that blank check from Donald Trump and you write in $1 million, there's resources to back that up. If you have a signed check with the name of Jesus on it and you can fill it in, you can fill it in for divine healing for people. You can fill it in for help for people. You can fill it in for provision for your family. It's not just a one-check deal. It's a check, a constant check for your whole life, a blank one. Praise God. So we need to look at these things. And tonight's going to give you a little bit more faith on that name of Jesus, that when you pray and you finish that prayer in the name of Jesus, and you don't even have to pray to use the name of Jesus. You heard me up here when people get hands. I didn't ask the Father for anything. I just said, in the name of Jesus, be free. In the name of Jesus, be healed. And that's legal. That's legal, because a resource that you're going to see is healing. I don't have to ask him for something that he's already written in his will that I can have. It's like somebody, so you need to get a revelation on that. It's like some people, someone that passed away and they leave you a will, and in that will, it's with the lawyers, it's signed by them, it says you are entitled to their, let's just say, their gun collection. You don't have to then sit there and say, oh man, Lord, would you ask them up there if I can have these guns? I'm just not sure. No, it's already written. You don't have to ask for it. It's already written down. Healing is a resource of Jesus. We're going to look at a few of those things tonight. That we just claim it and see. When you say the name is taking that check out and putting payment down for whatever you're saying. Yeah. Mark 16 and verse 17. Aren't you glad you came? Oh, I will say that, Father. And I can say it freely because I'm preaching to the choir. You're here. Amen. But do you see why? Okay, let's just be honest. When people are at home, you don't have a preacher teaching you the Word of God. Now, some people will listen to things and some people will get in the Word. But I'm talking about where somebody has heard from heaven of what you need to preach, teach the Word of God to you. We have very small opportunities in our life to hear those things. What do I mean by that? Maybe 2 times a week when guest ministers come in. Maybe there's a 4 or 5 day meeting that we might have. Or maybe you can have some time to get on live stream and listen to other things like that. But we have such small opportunities to get what we need. Can you see why the majority of people go without in the body of Christ? Because even if they are showing up, are they being taught the Word of God? But a lot of times people don't even show up. People don't even show up. And there's not 4 grounds that the word's sown into. There's 5 grounds, and the 5th ground is the one that didn't even hear it at all. And so you can see why you're here tonight, so you'll learn about this stuff. Can just put yourself on the opposite part of the spectrum. What if you weren't here tonight? When are you going to be taught this? What if you don't come to church on Sunday? When are you going to be taught faith? Because you don't have the world banging down your door trying to teach you. You don't have people just scurrying to knock on the door and say, we need to sit down and teach you faith. No, this is where you're going to get it. This is where you're going to get victory. And again, I know I'm a banger on the drum of church attendance and showing up. Because that's where it starts, is the showing up. If I can get you to show up, I can get you help. Praise God. If I can get you to show up, I can at least get you into the one of the four grounds. Now then, what you do with that word is up to you. You put yourself in the good ground or the three-fourths of the bad ground. But you got to at least be here to get it. And so I think about these things, and I think about over the years, not just in this church, over the years of people that struggle with things that never were meant to struggle with those things, but because they had no knowledge about those things, the devil came in and just hoodwinked them. Yeah, but you're here tonight. Praise God. Mark 16 and verse 17. And these signs shall follow them that believe, here it is, in my name. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Last week we didn't get past the first part, which says they shall cast out devils. You have authority over all. Luke 10:19 says, behold, I've given unto you. Remember, Jesus. See, Jesus can't give something he doesn't have.
That's right.
I can't say, pull out my key and say, behold, Vinny, here, I give you my new Porsche. And he walks out and is clicking the honker on the thing, and there ain't no Porsche out there beeping back at him. I can't give him that. And Jesus said in Luke 10:19, he says, behold, I give unto you authority over all the power of the enemy. Well, see, he could give that because we know in Matthew 28, he says, all authority belongs to me. So now he's given it to us in Luke 10. One of those things he gave us was that we can cast out devils. Cast out devils how? With our words. They don't have authority over us. If the devil's harassing your family, the devil's harassing you, you know, you're getting dreams that are haunting you, nightmares. Those are spiritual things. Cast that thing out. Put that thing in its place and use the name of Jesus. They have to shudder. They have to shudder at that name. I love the story Brother Hagin tells when Jesus was, he writes this, I believe, in the Believer's Authority, and he was having a revelation or a vision with Jesus, and Jesus was telling him all sorts of different things, and in came this devil in this spiritual vision and started making all this noise, like yakety yak, 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 yak. And Jesus just kept right on talking. Jesus just kept right on telling Brother Hagin, and Brother Hagin couldn't hear what Jesus was saying. I say that'd be frustrating, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
And he's waiting for Jesus to do something. And Jesus isn't doing anything. Jesus says, I can't do anything about that. And Brother Hagin finally said, in the name of Jesus, get out of here. He said, that thing scurried out of here, you know, like a scared little monkey type thing. And the Lord told me, he said, listen, I can't do anything about the devil. I gave you the authority. And he says, so you mean to tell me he'd have just sat there as long as you'd have let him stay there? You have authority over the devil. Jesus is not here anymore. You are him. you're gonna do his works. If he's harassing you, you know, co-workers harassing you, family members, people going out of their way to just cause you trouble, there's probably a spirit behind that. Tell that devil to cease and desist. Quit those maneuvers. You knock it off in Jesus' name. I'm telling you, it works. This stuff works, praise God. You have authority over family members, close family members especially, that are not born again, not children I'm talking about, mom and dad, close family members, siblings. Seems you have great authority over people like that. People like that need people like you that know what they're doing. Do you know it matters who you're connected to? Oh, man. I can't tell you how many people in my life have been spared because they knew me. Now, that sounds like I'm bragging about myself, but I'm just bragging on him. How many people in your life are going to heaven just because you existed, right? They're not going to burn in hell. It matters who, and you can be such a blessing and such a light to people. Amen? Such a blessing and such a light. So we can cast out devils. In Jesus' name, take authority over the enemy. Troubling thoughts. You know what depression is? Depression and anxiety and suicidal thoughts, just a spirit. Just take authority over those things. In the name of Jesus, you leave me alone. In the name of Jesus. Praise God. That name. Well, what's the next one? In my name they shall speak, cast out devils, and they shall speak. They shall speak. Amen. With what? New tongues. And I do need to stop here for a second. Go to Acts 2 and verse 38. Acts 2 and verse 38. If you'll hear me when I lay hands on people to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I simply say, in the name of Jesus, be filled. Amen. In the name of Jesus, be filled. Acts 2 and verse 38. Trying to show you what you have at your disposal. You have a blank check. Glory to God. I'll tell you what, we're going to fill that thing in for some big things in our life. Not only for people, but for our own personal lives. Acts 2:38 says, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Wow, how? In the name of Jesus. They'll speak with new tongues. Back to Mark chapter 16. When I got filled with the Holy Ghost, I was in my apartment in Fredonia on Water Street, going to Fredonia, SUNY Fredonia there, and just on my knees, said, Lord, in the name of Jesus, fill me with the Holy Ghost. It came upon me, I opened my mouth, I began to speak with tongues. Let me just say this, to them that believe, this is for all believers. This is a gift that is so underused and undervalued in the body of Christ. I can't stress it enough that if you're here and you're not filled with the Holy Ghost, don't go a day more without it. Think about, and I'm not going to preach on the baptism of the Holy Ghost here today, but maybe at the end of the service, the Lord leads, we'll call people up for that if they want it. But you think about Peter. He wouldn't even admit that he knew Jesus to a little girl. He gets filled with the Holy Ghost and is willing to be crucified upside down on a cross because he's not worthy to die like Jesus, he said. He turns the world upside down, preaching in the name of Jesus. What was the difference? The baptism. The Holy Ghost. Jesus said, power will come upon you. Why do you don't want to live life without power. And people, now you can be filled with the Holy Ghost and not using it and just be as powerless as somebody that's never been filled with the Holy Ghost. The point is to get filled with the Holy Ghost and to be using this gift. Praise God. And they shall speak with new tongues. Well, we know this, that shall speak with new tongues. The Bible says that when you pray in an unknown tongue, you edify yourself. You pray out mysteries. You speak the unknown. That you're praying out the perfect will of God. So many wonderful things happen. Glory to God. All stemming from the name of Jesus. So I encourage you, you don't need me to lay hands on you. But boy, you just go home and say, in the name of Jesus, Lord, fill me with the Holy Ghost. He will. Just open your mouth and start speaking in tongues. And then use that gift. It's so valuable. It'll change your life. Amen. The second greatest thing that's ever happened to me, besides getting born again, was getting filled with the Holy Ghost. I wouldn't say that to you if it wasn't true. I'm not, we're not preaching on tongues every week. We don't have, someone come in here very artistic and paint tongues of fire on the wall. Like that's the tongue church. He's just like, that's all he wants to talk about. We rarely ever talk about it, do we? I mean, very once in a while, we'll have a class or it'll come up in service. I'm not trying to have my church look a certain way. Very rarely do you hear me pray in tongues in the service. But for your personal life, it'll change your... What do you think I'm doing on the way down here today? What do you think I'm doing all day long? Just filling myself, building myself up, getting stronger, praying in tongues. Hallelujah. Don't let that gift wane. Don't let that gift go away. Say, man, things have been tough lately. Things have been like I'm going in a stream of peanut butter uphill or upstream and... stream of peanut butter, and the only paddle I got's a straw. That's what my life's been like. Do you have any power? He that prays in an unknown tongue edifies himself. It's your job to edify yourself. It's your job. It's not my job. It's not your spouse's job. It's your job to edify yourself. So get filled. Get filled. Stay filled. Hallelujah. We're going through this, Mark chapter 4. So they'll speak with new tongues, verse 18. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. Don't go out and start sucking down the rat poison, because the Lord said, I drink a deadly thing. No, don't be silly. You've seen them on the news, Christian person bitten by snake, dead. Snake handlers. It didn't tell you to go out and grab snakes. It's talking about the fact that you have supernatural protection in the name of Jesus when you will need it. One thing that my mind instantly goes to when thinking about this is storms. Now, we're blessed around here. Snow really is our thing. I mean, and really, it rarely ever gets life-threatening bad. Maybe when you're out driving, you have to be careful. But, we don't have the tornadoes like they do in the Midwest or the earthquakes or being on the East Coast and having hurricanes and things like that. And one thing my mind instantly goes to is in anything that could be dangerous, right? Remember in Mark 4, where the wind was boisterous, the waves were boisterous, the disciples thought they were dying, and Jesus got up and rebuked the wind and the sea? So guess what? That's a resource of Jesus. You know, when they call, I'll just tell you what I do. When they call, and I've seen it like really work in my life, where they call for severe thunderstorms or high winds or, you know, power outages and things like that. And down trees can fall down and stuff. You know, when they're calling for those things, I just walk outside my house and I'll walk the perimeter. And I'll just say, in the name of Jesus, nothing's coming on my house. No trees are falling on my house. No tornado's going to hit. Nothing's going to hit my house. You hear them talk about it, Rhema, how tornadoes in Oklahoma would go right down Kenosha Boulevard. And tornadoes go right down and skirt right around the Rhema church. Why? People praying in the name of Jesus. You're not going to touch me in the name of Jesus. See, protection belongs to you. There's a gentleman that I see, he doesn't go here. Almost every week I'll see him and he'll say, if the Lord's willing, I'll be back next week. What do you mean? Why wouldn't he be? What do you mean if the Lord's willing? That's just religious garbage that we need to flush down the toilet. If the good Lord's willing, well, why don't you find out? He hasn't left it a mystery. He already said in Psalm 91 and verse 16, with long life I'll satisfy you. Long life and show you my salvation. The Bible says that he'll give angels charge over you to bear you up in your hands, lest they dash their foot against a stone. No evil shall befall you. No plague come near your dwelling. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it won't come near you. Only with your eyes will you behold and see the reward of the wicked. Only with your eyes. No weapon formed against me will prosper, and every tongue that rises against me shall be condemned. For this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and his righteousness is of them. Praise God. Weapons may be formed, but they won't prosper. 1,000 might fall over here, 1,000 might fall over here, and it might look really hairy, but it ain't coming near me. People say, oh, you can't do that. You can't. Don't test that. Test what? The word? I'm serious. What do you think we'd say to our kids? In the name of Jesus. Well, let me just say this. Go to Hebrews 1 and verse 14 real quick. Now remember, if you don't believe me, you go look it up in Psalms. It says he'll give his angels charge over you to bear you up in their hands, lest you dash your foot against even a stone. No evil befall you, no plague come near to you. Why? Because they're bearing you up in their hands. Supernatural protection. Hebrews 1 and verse 14. I want to show you this. Oh, if the good Lord's willing. You know what it, all if is the badge of doubt. All if is saying you don't know very much. If, Lord be willing, you're just saying you don't know very much on healing. You don't know very much on whatever subject you're talking about. Hebrews 1 and verse 14, it says, are they not all? Context here, if you read them, in the verses before, it's talking about angels. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? The Bible says that angels are sent forth to minister for you. Another word, their ministering spirits, is like a servant. Or a more common word that you'll understand, an example, is like a waiter or a waitress. How do you get a waiter or a waitress to bring you what you need? What do? Do you teleport it through your mind? Do you? No, you say something. Hey, I'd like some lemons, please. Hey, could you heat this up, or could you bring me some extra this? Or you speak, don't you? Angels are waiting on your command. See, another thing we don't know very much about, which I believe Pastor Tim is going to have Dr. Jacobson, who is one of Dr. Dufresne's sons, and Dr. Jacobs specializes in the area of angelic ministry. That's what he's really quite devoted to. And we don't even know what angels are supposed to do for us. It's been very taught on very little in the body of Christ. You all have your own guardian angel. Glory to God. Angels waiting at the command of people. So I'll just say how my wife and I do it. We just say, in the name of Jesus, angels, you go before our children. You form a hedge about them. And I just speak the word over them. No evil befall them. No plague come near their dwelling. They'll live a good long life. So I say every single night before we put them to bed, praying over those kids. Angels, thank you for watching my children. Don't ever leave their side. You bear them up. Do what you said you'd do in the word. Angels are waiting. Angels are waiting. Amen. Command angels to go forth when you're going on a trip. Amen. I used to ride a motorcycle quite a bit, and I just loved it. It was a desire of my heart. It's kind of waned a little bit. I don't really have a strong desire to do that anymore. It was a desire of my heart, so I was able to put faith towards that. And I would say, angels, you go before me. You bear me up. No animals are going to hit me. I'm going to hit no animals. I'm going to stay upright on this bike. I'm going to get to where I need to go. Right? Praise God. Protection. Jesus stood up and said, in the midst of a storm, when it looked like death, he said, stop it. You can stop those kind of natural things in your life that are dangerous or scary. I'll tell you, yeah, I'll say that. Some of you need to stop watching so much of the news. It's hurting your faith. It's hurting your faith because I'll tell you what, I watch that stuff, I get scared. I go to bed scared. I mean, it's just, you'd think the world's coming to an end tomorrow. You watch enough of it, right? I'm not trying to lord over your life and tell you what to do, but be careful, little ears, what you hear. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. Right? Because what you hear is what you'll have faith for. What you have faith for is what you'll say. And what you say is what you'll have, little ears. Right? That just came to me in my spirit right just then and there. I'm serious. Be careful. Little ears, what you're hearing. Oh, how bad it is. Terrible. Money this, money that. No. You need to hear the word. See, God didn't write this and say, you know what? This does not apply to 2014 because it's going to be so bad out there that this word won't work. It'll only work if you don't work it. You have authority. Storms coming. You say, in the name of Jesus, ain't going to touch my house. Not going to touch my stuff. Nothing's going to fall on my car, ruin it. I'm not going to get in a wreck in the snow. You get caught in a snowstorm. In the name of Jesus, angels, take me home. Take me home and use wisdom and get home safe. Hallelujah. Go back to Mark 16. Kind of a lot of the different things tonight, just hitting different things, whatever the Lord wants us to preach on. Mark 16. Mark 16 and verse 18. They shall take up serpents and they shall drink any deadly thing. It shall not hurt them. And they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Now, go back to verse 16. Does it say, he that believes and is baptized and saved, he that believeth not shall be damned? Does it say, these signs shall follow them in the full-time ministry? And these signs shall follow the pastor. I can tie a sweet little knot and look all spiffy up there. No. Believers, you have healing power in the name attached to you. And so go back to verse 18. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Acts chapter 3 was when Paul was coming out and saw the man laying on the side there that had been crippled. And, you know, it's good to go there. Acts chapter 3 and verse 1. Acts chapter 3 and verse 1. The name of Jesus. When you say, in the name of Jesus, storm you're not touching, you don't understand the power you just encompassed your home with. Acts chapter 3 and verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together in the temple at the hour of prayer being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked in an alms, and Peter, fastening his eyes upon him, and John said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such I have, I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. There it was. In the name. Did Peter ask God anything? No. Why? He didn't need to. He just took the resource that he had, that he knew Jesus had the resources, and he said, in the name of Jesus. I remember... That's what I mean. The Christian that knows what they're doing, people will be blessed to know you. And that was a prideful statement when I said people are very thankful that they've known me and people have been spared because they know me. And you could say the same thing about you and should say the same thing about yourselves going forward. I was used to work out at the JCC gym. And I know when I say used to, you're looking at me saying, what do you mean you used to? You still look like you got it. Of course. That was sarcasm. You're probably thinking, what happened? What happened to your program? But I used to work out at the JCC gym back when I was going. I don't even know if I was in school at that time there or not. Just might have had a membership. And there was an older man by the name of Bob there. And I got to know him a little bit. He just took a liking to me for some reason. And one day I went in there and Bob was just, really kind of down, a lot different. He said, I just had tests done here and they're sending me to Erie. And I felt the worst I felt in a while, just been bad. And it came to me, they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. I know the resources of Jesus are healing. He healed everywhere he went. And I said, Bob, and he didn't know I was a pastor. I wasn't a pastor back then. Just, here I am in my workout clothes. Bob, the Bible says that if I lay hands on you, you'll get better. C- can I lay hands on you, sir? And he said, absolutely. So I laid hands on him, and I didn't pray and ask God for anything. I just said, in the name of Jesus, be free from that. Be healed from head to toe. Well, I left and went home and came back the next day. And it might not have been the next day. It might have been the day after, whatever. I'm not sure. But anyways, it was close by. When I walked in there, Bob was one of those guys that was kind of fun for him to go to the gym, not for the working out, but for the talking. He stayed around and talked and talked and talked. So everybody knew him. Everybody knew what he was going through in his life and what everything about him, And people are walking in. I'm signing my name on the sign-up sheet. And the people are saying, man, did you hear about Bob? He canceled those appointments in Erie. He went back to the doctor around here, and everything's normal. Can't figure it out. And I went and saw him and said, hey, Bob, how you doing? Oh, best I've ever been. I feel so wonderful. After you prayed, God healed him. Why? Somebody stood up that knew Jesus and brought it to somebody who needed Jesus. My in-laws, we were getting ready to go on a cruise in, I don't even know where we're going because I didn't care. I just wanted to eat. I don't even know. It was somewhere with blue water and fun. Didn't matter to me. I just know they had like pizza buffets that were open all the time. That's all I was thinking about was the food. Don't mind telling you that. That's the only thing I cared about. Didn't care about the excursions or the snorkeling or the sunshine. Just let me eat nonstop for 5 days straight. Praise the Lord. And I'll repent and figure it out after. Glory to God. But anyways, we're going on a cruise and we're going to drive. We were leaving out of Miami and we had drove all day down to Daytona, and we were going to spend the night there and then have, I think it's like a 2-hour drive, something like that, the next day. And my father-in-law had a colonoscopy done like a week before that we left. So we get into Daytona. He drove he drove to about, an hour and a half before we got to Daytona, and then I drove. So he drove maybe like, I don't even know how many hours it was that day. It was a lot. And he gets into the hotel to get a room, and I see him start to do this, and boom, he falls out, just drops right there. And it was really quite frightening to the senses, because I had seen stuff like that happen with my dad with a stroke. And, Courtney and her mom are sitting there, and they saw him. And he's a big guy, 6 foot something. That's why Caleb's going to be tall. Thank God Caleb's getting his size, right? They slammed right into that glass, shook the place, and they came running in. Well, they called the ambulance and everything. And we just thought, man, maybe he didn't take his medicine that day, his blood pressure medication or whatever. So we're following the ambulance to the hospital, and the mood's kind of light because he woke up before, and they got him in the ambulance, and we could see that he was kind of joking around a little bit when they were putting him in. So we're like, okay, just a little hiccup. Maybe he didn't take his medicine, or maybe the driving for so long. And we're sitting there, and over 2 hours go by in the waiting room. And the doctor, it was a nurse, came out and said, we need you to come here. So we were like, so I knew instantly, when they call you. They put us in a separate room, and they said, first thing out of their mouth was, we don't know if he's going to live. Now, here we are going on a cruise. Her dad's in his 50s, healthy guy. Walks every day, works out every day, just takes care of his body, doesn't have really any vices at all, just super healthy guy. And they're telling us, we don't know if he's going to live. His colon was punctured, and he'd been internally bleeding the whole trip. And the way he had been sitting was causing that blood, and because he hadn't stood up yet the whole day, he didn't get lightheaded. So I'm thinking, he drove for over 15, 16 hours that day. What if he'd have passed out while we were driving? But, thank God he didn't. So they're telling us, we don't know if he's going to live. We don't know if we can get him enough blood required in the time to save his life. We just want to be honest. And I remember her mom saying, wait, what are you saying? What do you mean? She's panicking. We don't know if your husband's going to live, ma'am. We're not sure. And so they walked out, and I'll tell you, my mind is doing backflips, a million things. And then I remember, wait a minute. My wife don't want to lose her dad. I don't want to lose my father-in-law. I have authority over this situation. We have a higher power. Her mom's Catholic, and nothing wrong against Catholics, but there's some Catholics that don't know the word, and a lot of people sometimes that don't know it in that circle, and she was one of them in that. And I said, let's just pray. We bowed our heads, and I said, in the name of Jesus, he will live, he will not die, and strength will return to him, and he'll get the blood. And I got out of the room and I left. I had to leave because they're weeping and wailing. And I just didn't need to get that to get on me. I just went in the room and started praising and thanking God. Well, long story short, he turned out and he was fine. But what was it? That name of Jesus. That name of Jesus. A blank check. And that blank check that you have, healing can be filled in there. If you know the resources, healing can be filled in there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What do you think I do when symptoms come on my kid's body? I'll lay hands on them and say, in the name of Jesus, you leave this child's body. We've seen fevers dissipate immediately. We've seen things, you know, have a lot less length and symptoms in different things. I remember when I had my appendix ruptured, and it was ruptured for over 3 days and should have been dead, and I was in the hospital. I remember getting out of bed and walking around with my IV pole just saying, in the name of Jesus, I'm healed. In the name of Jesus. See, I'm not doing that. You know, a lot of people are praying and praying and praying just for the sake of praying and praying and praying. You can say very few things when you say them in faith. You don't have to carry on for hours and hours and hours and hours. The voice of faith doesn't have to be long and drawn out. Now, there are seasons where the Lord will call you apart maybe to spend extended times in prayers. In the name of Jesus, I'm healed. To do me just as good as if I pray in tongues for 2 hours over my body. In the name of Jesus, I'm healed. In the name of Jesus. And supernatural healing came to me. Said I wouldn't be right for a year. I was right within a month. Praise God. Just stuff works. Hallelujah. When that girl at youth group had the hearing thing, I just stuck my fingers in her. In the name of Jesus. Didn't ask the Father anything. In the name of Jesus, be healed. Why? Because that name carries weight. That name carries power. Hallelujah. But notice what it says in Acts 3. Let me see here where I want to show you about this name of Jesus. I have to find this, praise God. Verse 16. It says, and his name, the name of Jesus. Notice this though. Through faith in his name has made this man strong. This is not abracadabra, hocus pocus. Let's just throw out the name of Jesus. There has to be belief with the name. Faith is the key to the name working. You can spout off all you want in the name of Jesus, this and that, and if you don't have belief or faith in it, it's just as good as spouting off twinkle, twinkle, little star. It's true. He said, in his name, this is talking about the guy that was impotent from his mother's womb, you know, had problems and physical problems. Faith in the name. See, when you write that check, you got to know that you know that you know. I have people ask me this question all the time, so if you ask me this, you're not alone. But how do I know if I have faith? Don't ever forget. See, when God gives something by the Spirit, it's meant to be used for the rest of your life. Don't ever forget the water bottle. It has changed my life with faith. What is the water bottle? Remember? How many of you believe when I let go of this, it's going to hit the ground? Every single one of you believe that. Without a shadow of a doubt. Well, what is that? That's belief. Do you believe when you lay hands on somebody? Do you believe when you lay hands on your kids? Do you believe when they're calling for storms and power outages and all these, thank you, sir, all these things are going to happen? And you say, in the name of Jesus. Do you believe without a shadow of a doubt that what you're saying is coming to pass? Do you believe that that name has the weight? If you don't, then you need to go back and study the name. Because even Mark 11:23 doesn't say, therefore I say unto you, it says, therefore I say to you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast in the sea. But then it says something else. And shall not doubt in his heart that those things which he saith shall come to pass. Then he'll have whatsoever he says. Even what you're saying has to have faith attached to it. Or faith backing that up. I mean, so many people are quick to get the saying out. You got to get the believing right. Amen. See, when I laid hands on Bob, I wasn't wondering if it would work. Right. When I prayed for my father-in-law, I didn't leave that room. See, I left the room where there was doubt and unbelief. And that's no dig on them. I think most people that don't know Jesus in an intimate way, when they're told their spouse is going to die, might panic. And I had to get out of there because it was starting to affect me. Remember when Jesus with the little girl, he got everybody out of the house. They were weeping and wailing, making a great commotion. See, when it comes to your faith, you better be careful who you're hanging out around a lot with and what you're listening to. That's why I said be careful, little ears, what you hear, because if you're around doubt and unbelief all the time and you're just constantly listening to that stuff, that's going to get on you, because faith cometh by hearing. Faith for the wrong things will come by hearing. But when I laid hands on Bob and took authority over that for my father-in-law, lay hands on that girl in youth group, pray over my kids, I'm not wondering. I'm not laying hands on my kids and running and getting the thermometer and swiping their forehead and checking it out. Did it work? No, it's going to work because my words have value. The name's backing me up. It's like you write that check for $1 million from Donald Trump. You're not sitting there wondering, oh boy, I hope this goes through. No, because you know his resources. You know his resources. Now, if a stranger gave you a check and said, yeah, fill that in for $100,000 and go buy whatever you want, you might have a little bit of wondering when you slide that across the table, is this thing going to bounce? Why? Because you don't know their resources. The key to the name of Jesus is knowing what's behind that name. Amen. Meditating on John 16, verse 23 and 24, where he says, whatsoever you shall ask in his name, you'll have it. Mark, go back to John 16 and verse 23. Now I'm going to get into your own life, and we'll close with this. John 16, remember, this is the carrot I dangled for people to come. Amen. About your own life. John 16, verse 23, says, in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever. How broad is that? There's no ceiling on that. There's no cap on that. And I was meditating on that today because that is such a huge word. Now, of course, we would never ask anything outside of his will, nor why would we want to? Why would we want to have anything that he wouldn't want to have for us? See, when we have a revelation of what he wants for us, he wants better for us than we could ever want for ourselves. Because why? He's the God who can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever ask or even think. He wants to do better for us than we could even ask or even think of him. But we'd never ask outside of his will. It wouldn't work, and also we wouldn't want to do that to him. But it says whatsoever, whatsoever. The whatsoever is up to the one that's doing the asking. Amen. Do you see that? Yes. The whatsoever is not up to him. He leaves the whatsoever to you. He's not giving you a check saying, fill it out for this. He's saying, here's a blank check. Fill it in for whatever. Amen. Whatsoever. Amen. And the Lord showed me this today, and it was so good. So good. Go to Mark 9:23. I'm going to show you. What does whatsoever mean? You want to find out what Mark 9:23 is? Or you want to find out what whatsoever means? Look at what Mark 9:23 is. Because Jesus, Holy Ghost told me today, go to this scripture. It'll tell you what whatsoever is. Hallelujah. Mark 9:23 says, Jesus said unto him, if you can believe, then all things are possible to him that believe. You know what the whatsoever is? Whatever you can have faith for, you can have it. Whatever you can have faith for, what is faith? Believing that just as much as that water bottle is going to hit the ground, that whatever you ask for, I'm going to see it come to pass in my life. Whatever you can believe, Jesus said it's not up to him, it's not up to the Father. He said, if you can believe it, all things. Whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, I'll give it to you. What's whatsoever? Whatever you can believe for. Whatever you can believe God for, you can have. Whatever. Fill it in. You need $500,000, believe God for it. You can have it. Yeah, it's up to you. Praise God. Now here I want you to see this. If you can believe it, you can qualify for it. We'll go back to John 16. A lot of flipping back and forth here. But are you ready for me now to show you a verse that will take your religious thinking and flush it right down the toilet? You know that's where dung belongs anyways. Flush down the toilet. That's all religious thinking is. Just a big old pile of cow poop. That's all religious thinking is. I'm just telling you. It's what it is. Here we go. Now, because people say, ha, yeah, I know, healing for the kingdom and all these things. You better get a revelation that your Father in heaven's like a dad to you. That he wants to give you good things. How much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those that love him? He wants to bless you. Do you know that when he made people, he didn't make everybody the same? Everybody has different desires and different wants. I think it's amazing. I don't understand why you wouldn't feel the same way as me. Some of you do. Why when you see a giant buck, why are you not getting chills? Why is that not like obsessing your thoughts? Because when I see a giant buck, I'm like, oh, drool, you know? Found one the other night spotting. I mean, this thing was just a beast of a deer, and I've been going back like every night between like 1 and 2 in the morning because I stay up late anyways. Got to see if I can see him. Why aren't you doing that for a big buck? It doesn't make sense to me. It's not your desire. But some of you, man, you get around a mall and the drool starts flowing, right? Some of you go to yard sales and you just can't get enough, right? whatever it is. Some of you go to an antique car. You got your car in the garage that you're fixing up, and you just, that's your thing. God knows that. He knows that. But this is what I want you to see. Verse 23. And in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever you ask the Father in my name. Remember, whatsoever, no cap, no ceiling on it. Hitherto, up until now, you've asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive. Now here's the next statement that's going to give you your foundation to believe God for those things that religion will say you can't have. Do you have verse 24 up there, Heather? 16 and verse 24, John 16. Hitherto you've asked nothing in my name, or up until now. Ask. Sometimes our computer freezes, not the worker. Heather's not back there frozen. John 16 and verse 24. Hitherto you've asked nothing in my name. I'll just read it. Ask and you shall receive. Notice this. That your, everybody say my. That your joy is different than my joy. What makes you joyful, what gets you giddy and gets you excited may not be what my joy is. But the Lord says, ask me for things that your joy. Do you think he knows what makes you joyful? He knows you inside and out. He knows the hairs on your head. Not a bird falls and hits the ground without him knowing about it. He says, ask that you receive. Why? Because I want the joy that's lacking in your life from things that aren't there. I want it to be fulfilled by me answering a prayer of yours. That your joy may be full. Glory to God. Now, let's just have an honest chit-chat tonight. How many of you ladies are happy with just one outfit in your closet to wear every single day? Maybe some of you are, some of you don't care, but majority of the time. I'm stereotyping right now. Sue me. Okay? And how many of you ladies are the majority of the time okay with just having one pair of shoes to wear? One outfit to wear. No. I live with somebody that I know. I look at the closet, I'm like, why would you ever even need to go to the mall ever again? But to her, it's like, I gotta go find more. Right? Why? It's her joy. Ain't wrong. That ain't wrong. When stuff has us, it's wrong. Right? How many of you are just okay with just skimping by all the time? You're not. Your joy's not full. Right? I remember Pastor Nancy talking about the house that she knew the Lord had for them, and it was just immaculate, way bigger than you'd ever need. But the Lord didn't say, ask that your needs would just be met, just your joy. I'll tell you what, I'm going to go out on a limb and say, there's not one person in here that would just be joyful in life if just their basic needs were met. Because that would mean we could throw away all your extra pair of undies. We could throw away all the extra pretzels and chips and drinks you have in there. You just live off of water. Right? We could sell down your car and sell the money and give it to the poor and get you something just absolutely bare necessity to get you from A to B. Right? So don't sit here, not that you are, and look at me religiously and say, I just need my needs met. Me and Jesus. Liar. Liar. Because let's strip down your life to your bare essential needs and see how joyful you are coming to church. Let's see how joyful you are. The Lord knows. Psalm 37 and verse 4 says what? Delight thyself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Amen. Your desires might be different. But I remember Pastor Nancy talking about the home that the Lord gave her. And she knew it was God. And here's Smith Wigglesworth lived in I don't know if they went over to visit. I think they did, but they said the house was, you know, nothing, didn't look like anything special on the outside. You know, it met his needs. You know, it wasn't huge and all these things or not a lot of property. And he conducted his ministry out of it. And someone asked him about that. You have a worldwide, he said, you know what he said? He said, my joy is full here. I don't need a bigger house. But there was other things in his life that maybe were different to him. The point is the Lord knows you have desires in your heart. And John 16 and verse 24 is your foundation. If there's something in your life, now again, we're not talking about getting into a place of sheer depression and you can't function without all this stuff. That's not what we're talking about. That's when stuff starts to have you. But it is not wrong. Well, you know, have you had the revelation of your daddy as like a natural dad? I like that my kids have more toys than they know what to do with. I like that. I'm sorry. You call me spoiling them, say whatever you want to about them. But I'm glad that Caleb has a lot of clothes to pick from. I'm glad that he has a lot of different shoes to wear. I'm glad that he gets to go do fun things. I'm glad at Christmas time, we don't even know what to do all the stuff. That makes me happy as a dad. I'm not upset about that. Oh, it's my job to instill in him, you know, being thankful and being generous and things like that. But it makes me happy that my kid has things that he enjoys. Caleb, for some reason, is obsessed with vacuum cleaners. I don't mean he just likes them. I mean he is obsessed with them. He'll go to sleep thinking about them and wake up first thing in the morning and say, Daddy, can we sweep? I mean, that's not, hi, Dad, good to see you, love you. I'm hungry, we changed me. No, can we sweep, can we sweep? All he wants to do is sweep, sweeper, sweeper, this. We go to Walmart not to look at toys, to look at sweepers. He doesn't even ask to go to the toy section. You know, some parents can't even walk by the toy section with their kids because we can walk right by the toy section. It's like it doesn't even exist to Caleb. He might as well just be walking by women's underwear. It's just, that's what the toys are to him. It doesn't even matter to him. But you go by the sweepers and we got to stop. I got pictures of him just like this at sweepers in Walmart. And I got to wait and wait. And sometimes when he was younger and just to get out of the house to waste time, I'd say, buddy, let's go look at sweepers. He'd get so happy. Go to Bon-Ton, sweepers. Go to Walmart, sweepers. You take him to Sears, he's in heaven. Sweepers. So what do? We get him toy sweepers. We've bought him real sweepers. It makes me happy. I'm not buying him. See, now if I brought home a bunch of Spider-Man figurines and wrestling figurines or Batman figurines, you know what he'd do? It wouldn't mean nothing to him. So I'm doing something specific for my son because it puts a smile on his face. Not because he needs it. Not because it's essential to his life, but because it makes him happy. And I can believe God for things in my life that I don't necessarily need. I can believe him for 100 acres to myself that I can put postage signs up and keep everyone off. Just for myself. I can believe. I don't need that, but he knows that'll make me happy. That might not mean that much to you. But maybe you'd like to have the freedom to go buy clothes or to get into that vehicle you've always wanted. Ask! If you can believe God, you know what the Holy Ghost said to me today? I wrote this down because this is good. Listen to what the Holy Ghost said. If you can have faith for wherever your joy is lacking, it can be yours. If your joy is lacking in the car that you're driving, believe God for a better one. If your joy is lacking in the house that you're living in, believe God for a better one. We saw this work. Praise God. We saw this work with our house about being religious. We got the whole house thing going. Then she found out she was going to, you know, have a baby. And the Lord specifically told us that, well, before our house, in the 3 years that we were looking, more so her. A lot of times with a house, it's a woman's nest. It's like a nest, and they care more about it. Some guys care a little bit. I just don't really give a rip where I sleep, and it doesn't matter to me, but she did. And we put specific things on our confession list for our house. We wanted a two-car garage attached to the house that did not face the road. That was one of our things. We wanted at least two fireplaces. We wanted at least 20 acres. We wanted storage. And there was just different things within the house that we asked for. And we got every single thing on that list. But this is what I want to show you about. When the Lord told me, this is your house, we looked at another house that would have been triple the house that we already had, would have met our needs, would have been wonderful. We would have had a lot more money left over. And the Holy Ghost said to me in my heart, this is your Ishmael house. This is your Ishmael house. You can have this house, but it's your Ishmael. Remember when Abraham was told he was going to have a son? Well, he was getting older, and he got in doubt and unbelief, so he tried to make it happen on his own, didn't he? Yeah, don't end up with an Ishmael spouse. Don't end up with an Ishmael car. Don't end up with an Ishmael house. Don't end up with an Ishmael where you do things on your own, you overextend yourself. It's easy to get into things. It's maintaining them, that where the faith is. Yeah, God spoke the world into existence, but the Bible says now, speaking it was one-time event. Now he upholds the world by the power of his word. He's doing that continually, upholding, maintaining the world. And anyways, the Lord said, this is your Ishmael house. Well, we know Abraham was promised a son. Well, there was no son. His wife's womb was dead, so he slept with one of the servants of the house there, right? And she had a baby. They named him Ishmael. You can have your son. The blessing of the Lord makes rich. And adds no sorrow. The blessing of the Lord. Be careful what you... I'm amazed. There's a couple young girls that came from, it's amazing how God is good to people, came from Olean, St. Bonaventure, into service. And some reason I went down a rabbit trail of who you marry. And I had no clue why, I just was preaching on it. And both of those girls have reached out to me about that situation and dating people that were unbelievers. And I said, okay, be careful. What? Be careful. You'll get your husband, but be careful. I'll tell you what, ladies, be picky. Be very picky. I'm just telling you, the blessing of the Lord will make you rich. Wait for the God one. Wait for the God one. And you can believe God for the God one. You can believe God for a good one. Praise God. Where's your joy lacking? Your joy's lacking being single. Believe God for a godly spouse. It's not hard for Him to make this stuff happen. It's hard for Him to get you to believe it. And the Lord said, this is your Ishmael house. Yeah, you can have that house. But my point was this. Here, this house would have been three times the house, the Ishmael house. I said it clear, loud and clear in my spirit. This house would have been three times the house that we were currently living in. Would have met all our needs. Would have met all our needs way more than enough. We'd had more storage, more space than we whatever needed right now. And the Lord is telling me, this is your Ishmael house. Showing me that God cares that I have a lot. That God cares that I'm blessed. That God cares that I'm taken care of. Go to Mark 10, verse 28. We'll get ready to close here. Mark 10 and verse 28. Hallelujah. Mark 10 and verse 28. God don't care about that natural stuff. No, you just keep on believing that way and you'll never have any of it. As if God put desires in your heart so that you could just never have them. Right? Not only does He give the desires or the... See, you got to look at that verse both ways. Not only does He give you the desires, the coming to pass of them, who do you think put them there? I have a desire to have a connection in the Midwest with someone on a property in Iowa. I didn't come up with that desire to hunt and to love that. But you know what? I don't feel bad asking my daddy for it. And I release my faith for that. In the name of Jesus, I thank you. I'll have a connection someday. And you'll all hear about it. And you'll start to see my wall getting fuller and fuller with deer heads. Yep. Because I sit there, I talk to my walls. I do. I say, name of Jesus, deer head on you. Yeah, big one. I know I'm nuts, but it'll happen. You remember all a few years ago, I had been hunting my whole life and I hadn't seen a bear in the woods. Only time I saw a bear was at the zoo. And that bothered me. I mean, really bothered me. I know that you might say, oh boy, there's people dying in Africa. Well, what does that have to do with my joy? I'm praying for them. I hope they get better, but just stop it. Leave me alone. It was seriously hurting my joy that I wasn't seeing any bears in the woods. I wanted to see bears. And it came up in my heart, this verse, ask. I said, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I'm going to see bears, start seeing the bears in the woods. I can't go into the woods, it seems, anymore without seeing them. I'm texting people and say, wow, you see so many bears. Just a few years ago. Why? The Lord's good. My joy was lacking. I know, maybe it doesn't cure world hunger, but so what? Right? My joy. Personal to me. He loves you. He knows you. He knows what gets you going. What gets you excited. What would be a joy to you? Praise God. Hallelujah. Mark 10 and verse 28 said, Peter began to say to him, lo, we've left all and have followed you. And Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that's left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel. Verse 30. But he shall receive a hundredfold just when he gets to heaven. A hundredfold in this time. What? Houses. Plural. Houses. I don't know about you, but I only have one house right now. But the Lord says it's okay if you had more than one. Houses, a material thing, will receive a hundredfold in this time. Houses, brethren, sisters, and mothers, children, and lands. I'm hooking onto that one. Or you could say it this way. Whatever your joy is lacking in, you can have it. Praise God. Now, I know, don't get religious. Don't make me have to come back here on Sunday morning and preach to you all the blessings that God wants His children to have. And how abundant and how rich the men of God in the Old Testament were. Old Testament people were so wealthy, had so much stuff. Abraham had so much stuff it caused a division between him and Lot. stuff. So much stuff. Yeah. It's like they do these exposés on Kenneth Copeland, 2020, and the mansions he lives in, how many airplanes he has. They didn't see the service when he was ripping buttons off his coat and sewing the only thing he had. They didn't see in private when he's sewing everything he has in his bank account. When he's out giving 7 to 10 people their own airplanes. You can't help but be a reaper if you're a sower. You can't help it. So it's good to just keep your mind and your nose in your own business. But to know that God wants your joy to be full. Where's your joy lacking tonight? Now, we know the name of Jesus. We ought to be going it towards ministry. Where's your joy lacking? Is it being single? Is it not having a good enough vehicle? Is it having a house that doesn't necessarily meet your needs? Is it ladies, you want more clothes? Is it guys, there's something, a desire in your heart that you've had for so long. You've just been so afraid to ask. Well, now you have the foundation to ask for it. If your joy's lacking, it doesn't make you a bad person. Does it make me a bad person that Pastor Mike's joy? I didn't say I was depressed. I didn't say I'm miserable and kicking people and being mad at everyone because I'm not seeing a bear. Just my fullness of my joy. Like, think of it like a pie chart. A joy pie chart. Where are the wedges? There. Where you could say, you know what? My joy is not completely full. I can say that my joy is 100% full in the home that I live in, except for the property. My joy is not full with 20 acres. Oh, you're selfish. Good. So what? Call me that. I don't care. My joy is not full, right? My joy is full in the vehicle I drive. And I don't have a problem saying that. Your joy can be full too. Where's your joy? Maybe your joy is not in a vehicle. And we're not saying you don't care about the homeless and the poverty and people that are suffering. And don't get me in the ditch here, okay? Because I feel like you have to always kind of preface everything where your joy is lacking. And the Lord said to me, if you can have faith for wherever your joy is lacking, it can be yours. Whatsoever you ask. Whatsoever is whatsoever. So I want to encourage you right now, everybody here, this I'm following the Holy Ghost. Grab a blue card in the back of your seat. And I want you to write on there something in your life that you've been afraid. You know, I used to be afraid to ask God for a truck because I would think, you know, I could just drive a piece of junk one and get by. I could, right? Couldn't we? Yeah. You all could we could strip you all down to nothing here, right? People, there was one religious guy was saying, oh, you know, believe in this prosperity message, believe in you have things. And they're driving around fancy cars. I'm thinking, okay, if you believe that way, why aren't you selling everything, getting down to the bare essentials of what you need, giving all that to the poor and living? It's easy to talk like that and to be critical about things. Let's go back to John 16:24, Heather, so people can see this. Ask and you shall receive that your joy. What is it in your life? I'm talking about something you want in life. Yes, we're going to just talk about that. Something you want. It could be materially. It could be for a spouse. It could be something that you might not necessarily need, but something that's just a desire in there. I'll tell you right now, what's going down on here is 100 acres of land. Don't need that, but that will complete my joy. Praise God. What is it? Write it down right now and fold it up. Nobody's going to see it but you. We're going to hold them up for the Lord and say, oh, this is weird. Well, I'm just following my heart. I'm going to try to put substance to your faith. Because what we're going to do is we're going to release our faith for these things right now. And we're going to see these things come to pass. And I will testify to these things. All right. I always grab the pen that doesn't work. Oh, I got about 20 of them in here. Let's see here. So many people go without things in life because they're so afraid. Nobody's saying you don't care about the unsaved. Nobody's saying you don't care about people being blessed. Nobody's saying that. But God knows you. He knows your heart. Jesus said this. He said, I've given you all things to enjoy. Life is meant to be enjoyed, to have fun, praise God. Maybe it's a vacation. Maybe it's a vacation destination that you've never been to, that you've been afraid to ask because, well, I don't need it. You know what I love? Do you remember when they dumped the year's salary on Jesus, the oil? Remember that? And Judas, with the wrong spirit. What spirit was Judas operating under? The devil's spirit. Remember Judas came up and said, this money could have been sold and given to the poor. And Jesus didn't say, you're right, what a waste. No. He said, you did a good thing. What was he pointing out? Just because you believe in God for something doesn't negate the fact that you're not believing God to help the poor, believing God to be a blessing. But God knows your heart. He knows the desires you have. Whatever you have, we're going to... Now, if you don't believe this, if you're not there, don't just do this. But if your joy's not full, you can say, man, you know what? I'd like to have some more shoes. I'd like to have a spouse. I would like to have a better car or a bigger house or more property or, man, a vacation to that place or time alone, you know, whatever. I don't know. Where's your joy not full? Praise God. It's 5 of 8. We've gone way over. I need 5 minutes. Can I have 5 minutes? You can't pass your desires off onto somebody else, unfortunately. Mark 11:24 says, therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, you can't stand in faith. How do I want to say this? I can't, if I could pass my desires off onto everybody, the whole world would be born again. If I could pass my desires of somebody to be healed, I have people in my family that I desire to be healed. They don't have that same desire to be healed. So remember that your faith can't work on another person in the sense of a hocus pocus, abracadabra, voila type of thing. Here's an example. You're not married. You see a handsome guy or a good looking girl walking down the road. You say, in the name of Jesus, I call them my spouse. You can't do that. Their will, their desire comes into play, right? I mean, if we could just get everybody healed, we would. But not everybody has the faith or the belief or the desire to be that way. So make sure that in writing these things, because we don't want to go off blaming God when they don't change. Other people have to cooperate with us. We can't pass off our desires onto other people. It's a singular thing, what you are desiring for. Let's hold these up. Father, in the name of Jesus, we love you tonight, Lord. And I'm going to pray a general prayer for everybody, but you just go ahead and you agree with this prayer and hook up with me. The Bible says where 2 or 3 agree on earth is touching anything that they ask, it shall be done for them. Father, Lord, you're a good God. You're a giving, generous Father. You're a blesser, Father. You give us more than we could ever have. Our cup runneth over, Father God. You're exceedingly abundant above all we could ask or think. You give us the desires of our heart. Father, you bless us. You said we could ask whatsoever. Father, there's things in our life where our joy, Lord, my joy was not full in that house on Park Street. My joy was not full driving around the car I was driving around. It just wasn't. I was thankful for it, and I wasn't complaining about it, but my joy wasn't full. Father, there's things on these blue cards that people may have had for years that they've just been so afraid to ask you for the fear of being selfish, for the fear of being self-serving. Well, Lord, we all have a heart to serve you. We all have a heart to be a blessing to the kingdom. We're not trying to put our stuff before your stuff. But Lord, there's a biblical principle that if our joy is lacking, we can ask and we can believe that when we ask it, that it'll come to pass. So right now, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, these things on our blue cards that are not in our lives yet, that are causing our joy to not be full, we say they come. We say they're done. We say they manifest. And we say it fills that part of the joy pie chart where our joy is lacking. We call these things finished. We call these things done. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, you can keep that with you. We don't need to see what those are. But as you go on in life and they start coming to pass, please start telling me the testimonies because they will happen. What do you do from here on out? You don't ask him for that ever again. You thank him for that. Every time you think of that, every time it comes up, you say, Father, I thank you for that thing. I'm not asking, Lord, can I have 100 acres? No, I'm saying, Father, thank you for 100 acres of my own land. When I'm in the woods and I think about, Lord, thank you for 100 acres, it would just make me so happy. Caleb doesn't need 5 sweepers, but he's got them. Because the 4th one he thought was the best one until he saw the 5th one. And I saw how happy, excited he was. That got Daddy excited. It gets Daddy excited to bless you. Amen? Hallelujah. The name, the name, the name, the name. Father, we love you. Thank you for these precious people that came out. Bless them as they go forward. Angels go before us. Bear us up in your hands, lest we dash our foot against a stone. No evil befall us. No plague come near our dwelling. We thank you for protection tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. You are dismissed. Hallelujah. Thanks for